In accordance with the code of meeting practice, council meetings are recorded and the audio is later webcast via council's website. The entire chamber is included in the audio recordings and visitors in the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individual persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and not opinions or statements of council. All persons shall refrain from making any defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of that individual beforehand. We all stand for the council prayer. Councillor Burke.
Most gracious God, we pray for the council, city of Cessnock, its members and officers, direct their work and influence their decisions to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of the city, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice and sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Council acknowledges the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Dargunjung people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. We don't have any apologies. Confirmation minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Saville, second Councillor Sander. No debate. Put that. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Disclosures of interest. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to disclose an interest in report number WI8 2020, which is the Rotary Park naming. It's a non-pecuniary interest, significant conflict, as at the time that this was initiated, I was president of the Rotary Club and was a member for quite some time, and I also made a submission on this also.
Yep. And I'll declare on WI19 2020 in that it's a non-pecuniary significant conflict in that I'm a personal friend of the Brown family. And we'll leave the chamber. Councillor Doherty?
Mayor Pinson, ditto to that, I suppose, because I'm a personal friend of the Brown family too.
Okay, so you're declaring a non-pecuniary significant conflict. Thank you. Not aware of any petitions. Consideration adoption of all reports by Englobo or individually with nominated exceptions. Councillor Doherty.
I'd like to move a motion for the following items on general business tonight. GMU 1 2020, minutes of the committee of the consider council initiated awards. CC 1 2020, council recess period, decisions made under delegated authority. CC 2 2020, councillor professional development and training report. CC 3 2020, minutes of the cultural facilities committee meeting of Cessnock Council. CC 4 2020, acquisition of land for boundary adjustment to add to Turner Park. CC 5 2020, the 2020 National General Assembly of Local Government call for motions. CC 6 2020, investment report, December 2019. CC 7, Local Government New South Wales Tourism Conference 2020. WI 3 2020, Gunjiwoi Road, Gunjiwoi, petition for bridge at Helens Crossing. WI 4 2020, Hedden Street, Currycurry, reinstatement of a nature strip. WI 6 2020, 2019-20 Community Swimming Grants Program. WI 19 2020, minutes of the Roads Committee meeting held in December. And CO 1 2020, the Wallumbyy Community Bus Service. I'd like the council to adopt the recommendations.
Yeah, we get a seconder. Councillor Saville, I'll put that. All in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Motions of urgency. So move to PE1 2020. Councillor Saville, second. Councillor Burke, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I'd like to add another dot point. That'll be dot point five. We've already been briefed on this, so could a second briefing after the exhibition period be scheduled and include a comparison table of contributions covered in this plan by neighbouring councils? And I'll speak to that, please.
So you're asking for the mover and second to take that on board? And they're comfortable with that? Okay, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Okay, look, I have a couple of questions about this report. First of all, the second briefing I think is important, particularly after the exhibition period, because I am sure councillors here will receive phone calls about this plan. So I have a question probably to the strategic planning manager, through you, Mayor Pinson, and through you, General Manager. So I have a question for the strategic planning manager, Mr. Johnson. I just need a little bit of help with, it's on page 50 if anyone's sort of interested. It's 13.2.5. of the document, and 13.2.6, which is the calculation of contribution and rates. So am I to understand, let me get my page open, page 50. So this is in relation to contributions for traffic generation contributions. So am I to understand on page 51 that this will affect, say, events where we have buses going out to concerts?
The manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it would affect new events, not those events that have already got approval.
So if I were, say, Fitzgibbon Estate out on Broke Road and I held concerts out there and had 100 buses going out, and they were going some along Wine Country Drive and Broke Road and some going along Mount View Road and Oakey Creek Road, would the calculation be different for those buses? Because one's a local road and...
Strategic Planning Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, I understand that would be different for each road. When the proponent, just by way of background, is proposing to lodge an application for approval, they'll be required to provide a traffic report with that approval, which will identify roads and the traffic generation on which the plan will generate the contribution.
So another question then. So would that not seem discriminatory if you were having, if it was Grey Estate having a concert that was possibly on a road that was harder to access than, say, the Fitzgibbon venue? Meaning the Grey concert was located by local roads and the Fitzgibbon concert was mainly on regional state roads.
The manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the contribution plan only applies to roads that are under the care, control and ownership of council, so that they wouldn't apply, for example, to Wine Country Drive.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. So through you, Mayor Pinson, so my question is, if I have a property that holds concerts and it was able to be accessed by state roads compared to someone who had a concert on their property that was accessed by local roads, the local concert contribution would be higher than that of the concert on the state road.
The manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is correct, because we're not responsible for the traffic impacts on state roads. They may need to go to the RMS and seek approvals and or traffic management plans, but that's a matter for the state government and the regulatory authority, the RMS.
The director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. That's correct. I was going to add to what Martin said. It's an issue for the RMS. We cannot charge for that RMS road. It's not discriminatory. We can only charge the damage to our roads, not to their roads.
Okay. So through you, Mayor Pinson, that's how I read the report. However, it is discriminatory if the only way that you can get to a concert is on local roads. So if I went along, so if I was on a bus and I went along Mount View Road and Oakey Creek Road, which would all be council-owned roads, the contribution I would pay would be greater than that of an event off a state road.
And we as a councillor are not debating with the officers.
Okay.
You're just
clarifying that.
And I think it's clear now.
Okay. I've got one quick question. What other councils do this?
The director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Can I take that on notice?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just a couple of questions. On page 56 and 57, I'm just a bit confused. Item OS13, District Park in Belbird North URA, it's supposedly 100% contribution rate for a $9 million cost. The apportionment is $3 million, so that doesn't add up. Also, OS14 on the next page, District Amenity Building in Belbird North, similar thing, 100% contribution, $2 million, $876,000. So just wondering if we can get
the director
clarified.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Lyons, you well picked up. That's actually a typo. Should say 33% on page 56 and 57. We will fix those, and any other typos we pick up on the exhibition draft.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah. And just the other one being on page 60, CF3, provision of multi-purpose centres, land facilities. Yeah, there's no percentage there. So just other than that.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, same answer.
Other than that, brilliant report.
Thank you. Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just following on from the concerns raised by Councillor Fitzgibbon that this is going out on exhibition, but can I ask that when the briefing happened in point five that the concerns actually raised tonight are actually discussed in that briefing, because it's something that I think we will want to consider significantly before adopting the final report.
Okay, so we're comfortable with that. Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. PE 2, 2020, Councillor Olson.
Just a couple of quick questions, Mayor Pinson, if I may. The financial implications is on page 60 of this. It says the $400,000 in contributions collected under the tourism plan can be allocated to works allocated in the wine country signage strategy. That's $400,000 collected. What was it collected for in the first place?
The director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. My understanding is it was collected under the tourism contribution plan for tourism signage. It has been collected for that purpose, and it's just being allocated, and we're being specific on this to make sure that money doesn't just go into a pool for distribution across other projects.
Yeah, and then the second point after that is 476,000 remaining contributions will be transferred to the new plan. Is that for the same purpose, signage, is it?
Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. It would be for the rest of the purpose of that plan, including we've added cycleways, we've added... there's a couple of other things. I could defer to the manager if you needed a more specific answer.
No, that's fine. It's
whatever's specified in that schedule to the...
Yeah, plan. I was just wondering why we were, if it was matching up what it was in the original plan. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'll just take that one step further, and I can appreciate the $400,000 for the signage strategy, and I also acknowledge that this is an LGA-wide fund, that this is... this. $880,000 has been picked up by, but I'd go as far as to say that the Vineyard District, I'm assuming, and it's only an assumption, has paid the greater proportion of this. And in this work schedule part A on page 16 of the draft, I'm just looking down it, and Cessnock Commercial Precinct, well, that's not in the Vineyards District. Curry Commercial Precinct isn't. Western Commercial Precinct isn't. Brankston Commercial Precinct isn't. There's $1 million for other village commercial centres. Street planning's $1.5 million. Pathways is $10 million, but there are literally no pathways in Ward A to be done in this plan. And then you've got the Pacolban Cycleway for $14 million. So let's just say... rounded up to $15 million. If the majority of the money's been collected out of the Vineyards District, we've got $15 million out of $74 million worth of work to come back into the Vineyards District. And I guess the $470,000 that's left over, what assurances have I got that the majority of that is actually going to go back to the Vineyards District?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, that money goes into your planned fund for expenditure on anything that's identified in that plan at the back. So there's projects that are identified in there that are not in the Vineyards District, so that money can be used for those where necessary.
It
does say, sorry to interrupt you, but in the plan say...
No, excuse me.
Yep.
Sorry, through you, Mayor Pinson.
The Director's got the call. He hasn't finished.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. So also on page 60, that last dot point where it says the $476,000 in remaining contributions can be transferred and used for the purposes in that plan. So that's all those purposes that are specified in those schedules.
And that, Mayor Pinson, is my concern in the fact that the majority of the money was collected in the Vineyards District, and in that schedule there's only approximately 15 out of the $74 million in that schedule that is actually in that area. My question then would be, is there any way we can guarantee that money would be put back into the area that it came from other than just a general plan?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, that money, it's any of those projects in the plan that Council resolves to do that are funded through that can be used. So if you want to specifically only use that money for the Vineyards District, then you would need to amend it to say that. So you would be isolating that money when it has actually been collected from other areas as well, not just in the Vineyards District. So it's a 712 plan, and it's not specific just to the Vineyards District anymore.
Can I reserve my right to come back on this at a later part of this?
No, because you didn't move or move the original motion.
Righto then, Mayor Pinson. Can I move an amendment then, please?
Sure.
And, Mayor Pinson, I may need a bit of help with some wording on this, possibly. That the 400 and I haven't got it up to me, sorry, that the $476,000 $923.75 in contributions collected from the repealed tourism section 94 contributions plan be specifically reserved for Vineyard District projects. Is that an appropriate wording?
Okay, we had a seconder for the amendment. Councillor Stapleford. Right. Comfortable with that? Councillor Dunn?
Yeah.
Councillor Fitzgibbon?
That's appropriate.
Through through you, Mayor Pinson. From listening to the debate, I can understand Councillor Dunn's concerns. I do understand that the new contribution plan has described pooling of money to deliver projects that are already in strategic planning. I think the big concern that Councillor Dunn has is the small proportion of projects for Ward A when a large proportion of the money is delivered from Ward A. So, maybe Councillor Dunn, I don't know. Anyway, that's it.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. When you go through this, this money was already collected and allocated to positions in the Vineyard area, is that right?
Sorry, I was...
All right, sorry. This $476,000 was already collected off developments in the Vineyard area, or most of it was, for, under the old scheme, for allocation in that area.
Thank you, councillors. Councillor Stapleford's got the call. The director.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Stapleford, the majority of tourism activity is in that district, but it has been collected in other, you know, tourism-related activities across the district, across the LGA. But you are right in that most of the tourism development has happened in the Vineyards district. It is open to council to say that they want to spend that $476,000 in that district if they wish.
No, that's all. That's one. Yeah. Thank you.
So before we... I'll just take Councillor Stapleford off. We need to clarify with the amendment that points 1, 2 and 3 remain and... Sorry? And so you're keeping dot point 4 and the addition is a dot point 5. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just clarifying it because it wasn't up on the thing. Right, so we all comfortable with that now? Councillor Burke?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Dunn and Stapleford have mentioned that most of the $476,000 have been collected from the Vineyard District precinct. Most for me is, and I need a number. We're now allocating it all to the Vineyard District precinct, but I'm not saying that it's not worthy of it. But what is the percentage? How much of this money has been collected from the Vineyard District compared to not?
The director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I would have to take that on notice. Since that plan was adopted, there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DAs issued with contributions, rates applied and paid. We would have to go back and look at all of those development application consents and then work out a percentage.
Yeah, I can understand where Councillor Dunn and Stapleford are certainly coming from, but without that information, how do we know? We're saying that we're going to, well, Councillor Dunn's proposing that we allocate all the contributions to the Vineyard District projects, but it's not all come from there. So how do we, you know, trying to work out in my mind how I vote tonight, yes, the Vineyard District's certainly worthy of it because they've contributed majority of it, but the money that's come from the other areas is also worthy of having that contribution in their area, so perhaps maybe it could not be the entire amount, perhaps it could be a percentage, maybe 50-50 or 75-25. I'm not sure, I don't know the answer, but I'm finding it hard to decide on something when I'm not quite sure of where that money has come from exactly.
Councillor Zavell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I would like to propose a slight change to the move of the amendment. So rather than then reserving it for specifically for Vineyard District projects, can we reserve it for tourism supporting projects? So that actually if it's come from the tourism developments across the whole LGA, it supports tourism supporting things. So I don't know whether, and so the point
Just hang on, Councillor Savell. Okay. And can those other councillors who had their lights on please push them again? Thank you. Councillor Savell?
Yes, so like there are tourism supporting projects that have been developed through the LGA that are not in the Vineyard District that the wine country area would benefit from. Some of the information bays that are around the town I see as one example of them. So I would propose if the mover of the amendment and seconder would be comfortable that money is reserved for tourism supporting projects instead of Vineyard District projects.
Okay. We just get some advice from the Director.
Through Mayor Pinson, Councillor Savant, you could do that, but can I give some advice saying that for Vineyard District projects that are identified in the Section 712 plan, so you can't allocate it to other projects that are not already in that plan. There are a lot of tourism-related projects like cycleways that might go, say, from Cessnock out to the Vineyards District that could be funded. If it was only in the Vineyards District, you'd only be able to fund part of it, for example. So.
If the only way that you can get to a concert is on local roads. So if I went along, so if I was on a bus and I went along Mount View Road and Oakey Creek Road, which would all be council-owned roads, the contribution I would pay would be greater than that of an event off a state road.
And we as a councillor are not debating with the officers.
Okay.
You're just clarifying
that point,
and I think it's clear now.
Okay. I've got one quick question. What other councils do this?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Can I take that on notice?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just a couple of questions. On page 56 and 57, I'm just a bit confused. Item OS13, District Park in Belbird North URA, it's supposedly 100% contribution rate for a $9 million cost. The apportionment is $3 million, so that doesn't add up. Also, OS14 on the next page, District Amenity Building in Belbird North, similar thing, 100% contribution, $2 million, $876,000. So just wondering if we can get
the Director
clarified.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Lyons, you well picked up. That's actually a typo. Should say 33% on page 56 and 57. We will fix those. And any other typos we pick up on the exhibition draft.
Okay, brilliant. And just the other one being on page 60, CF3, provision of multi-purpose centres, land facilities. Yeah, there's no percentage there. So just other than that.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, same answer.
Other than that, brilliant report.
Thank you. Councillor Savell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just following on from the concerns raised by Councillor Fitzgibbon that this is going out on exhibition, but can I ask that when the briefing happened in point five that the concerns actually raised tonight are actually discussed in that briefing, because it's something that I think we will want to consider significantly before adopting the final report.
Okay, so we're comfortable with that. Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. PE 2, 2020, Councillor Olson.
Just a couple of quick questions, Mayor Pinson, if I may. The financial implications is on page 60 of this. It says the $400,000 in contributions collected under the tourism plan can be allocated to works allocated in the wine country signage strategy. That's $400,000 collected. What was it collected for in the first place?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. My understanding is it was collected under the tourism contribution plan for tourism signage. So it has been collected for that purpose and it's just being allocated, and we're being specific on this to make sure that that money doesn't just go into a pool for distribution across other projects.
Yeah, and then the second point after that is 476,000 remaining contributions will be transferred to the new plan. Is that for the same purpose, signage, is it?
Director?
Through you, Mayor Pinson. It would be for the rest of the purpose of that plan, including we've added cycleways, we've added... there's a couple of other things. I could defer to the manager if you needed a more specific answer.
No, that's fine. It's
whatever's specified in that schedule to the
plan. Yeah, I was just wondering why if it was matching up what it was in the original plan. That's fine, thank you.
Okay. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'll just take that one step further, and I can appreciate the $400,000 for the signage strategy, and I also acknowledge that this is an LGA-wide fund, that this is... approximately $880,000 has been picked up by, but I'd go as far as to say that the Vineyard District, I'm assuming, and it's only an assumption, has paid the greater proportion of this. And in this work schedule part A on page 16 of the draft, I'm just looking down it, and Cessnock Commercial Precinct, well, that's not in the Vineyards District. Curry Commercial Precinct isn't. Western Commercial Precinct isn't. Brankston Commercial Precinct isn't. There's $1 million for other village commercial centres. Street planning is $1.5 million. Pathways is $10 million, but there are literally no pathways in Ward A to be done in this plan. And then you've got the Pacolban Cycleway for $14 million. So let's just say... rounded up to $15 million. If the majority of the money's been collected out of the Vineyards District, we've got $15 million out of $74 million worth of work to come back into the Vineyards District. And I guess the $470,000 that's left over, what assurances have I got that the majority of that is actually going to go back to the Vineyards District?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, that money goes into your planned fund for expenditure on anything that's identified in that plan at the back. So there's projects that are identified in there that are not in the Vineyards District, so that money can be used for those where necessary.
It
does say, sorry to interrupt you, but in the plan
excuse me.
Yep.
Sorry, through you, Mayor Pinson.
The Director's got the call. He hasn't finished.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. So also on page 60, that last dot point where it says the $476,000 in remaining contributions can be transferred and used for the purposes in that plan. So that's all those purposes that are specified in those schedules.
And that, Mayor Pinson, is my concern in the fact that the majority of the money was collected in the Vineyards District, and in that schedule there's only approximately 15 out of the $74 million in that schedule that is actually in that area. My question then would be, is there any way we can guarantee that money would be put back into the area that it came from, other than just a general plan?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, that money, it's any of those projects in the plan that Council resolves to do that are funded through that can be used. So if you want to specifically only use that money for the Vineyards District, then you would need to amend it to say that. So you would be isolating that money when it has actually been collected from other areas as well, not just in the Vineyards District. So it's a 712 plan, and it's not specific just to the Vineyards District anymore.
Can I reserve my right to come back on this at a later part of this?
No, because you didn't move the original motion.
Righto then, Mayor Pinson. Can I move an amendment then, please?
Sure.
And Mayor Pinson, I may need a bit of help with some wording on this, possibly. That the 400 and I haven't got it up to me, sorry, that the $476,000 $923.75 in contributions collected from the repealed tourism section 94 contributions plan be specifically reserved for Vineyard District projects. Is that an appropriate wording?
Okay, we had a seconder for the amendment. Councillor Stapleford. Right. Comfortable with that, Councillor Dunn?
Yeah.
Councillor Gibbon?
That's appropriate.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, from listening to the debate, I can understand Councillor Dunn's concerns. I do understand that the new contribution plan has described pooling of money to deliver projects that are already in strategic planning. I think the big concern that Councillor Dunn has is the small proportion of projects for Ward A when a large proportion of the money is delivered from Ward A. So maybe Councillor Dunn, I don't know. Anyway, that's it.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. When you go through this, this money was already collected and allocated to positions in the Vineyard area, is that right?
Sorry, I was...
All right, sorry. This $476,000 was already collected off developments in the Vineyard area, or most of it was, for, under the old scheme, for allocation in that area.
Thank you, councillors. Councillor Stapleford's got the call. The director.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Stapleford, the majority of tourism activity is in that district, but it has been collected in other, you know, tourism-related activities across the district, across the LGA. But you are right in that most of the tourism development has happened in the Vineyards district. It is open to council to say that they want to spend that $476,000 in that district if they wish.
No, that's all. That's one. Yeah. Thank you.
So before we... I'll just take Councillor Stapleford off. We need to clarify with the amendment that points 1, 2 and 3 remain and... Sorry? And so you're keeping dot point 4 and the addition is a dot point 5. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just clarifying it because it wasn't up on the thing. Right, so we all comfortable with that now? Councillor Burke?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Dunn and Stapleford have mentioned that most of the $476,000 has been collected from the Vineyard District precinct. Most for me isn't. I need a number. We're now allocating it all to the Vineyard District precinct, but I'm not saying that it's not worthy of it. But what is the percentage? How much of this money has been collected from the Vineyard District compared to not?
The director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I would have to take that on notice. Since that plan was adopted, there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DAs issued with contributions rates applied and paid. We would have to go back and look at all of those development application consents and then work out a percentage.
Yeah, I can understand where Councillor Dunn and Stapleford are certainly coming from, but without that information, how do we know? We're saying that we're going to, well, Councillor Dunn's proposing that we allocate all the contributions to the Vineyard District projects, but it's not all come from there. So how do we, you know, trying to work out in my mind how I vote tonight, yes, the Vineyard District's certainly worthy of it because they've contributed majority of it, but the money that's come from the other area is also worthy of having that contribution in their area, so perhaps maybe it could not be the entire amount, perhaps it could be a percentage, maybe 50-50 or 75-25. I'm not sure, I don't know the answer, but I'm finding it hard to decide on something when I'm not quite sure of where that money has come from exactly.
Councillor Saville.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I would like to suppose a slight change to the move of the amendment. So rather than then reserving it for specifically for vineyard district projects, can we reserve it for tourism supporting projects? So that actually if it's come from the tourism developments across the whole LGA, it supports tourism supporting things. So just so I don't know whether and so the point.
Just hang on, Councillor Saville. Okay. And can those other councillors who had their lights on please push them again? Thank you. Councillor Saville?
Yes, so like there are tourism supporting projects that have been developed through the LGA that are not in the Vineyard District. That the wine country area would benefit from some of the information bays that are around the town, I see as one example of them. So I would propose, if the mover of the amendment and seconder would be comfortable, that that money is reserved for tourism supporting projects instead of vineyard district projects.
We just get some advice from the director.
Through Mayor Pinson, Councillor Savar, you could do that, but can I give some advice saying that for vineyard district projects that are identified in the Section 712 plan, so you can't allocate it to other projects that are not already in that plan. There are a lot of tourism-related projects like cycleways that might go, say, from Cessnock out to the Vineyards District that could be funded. If it was only in the Vineyards District, you'd only be able to fund part of it, for example. So. If you put that in, that would work, but you just need to say Vineyards District projects identified in the
so tourism-specific projects
identified in the 712
one
plan.
One speaking at a time.
Yep. So the proposed amendment then would...
No, just hang on, Councillor Saville. We haven't had those words changed. Reserve for Vineyard District projects identified in the plan.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. I think what Councillor Saville was saying was reserved for tourism-related projects identified in the plan.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. So the mover of the amendment, are you comfortable with that change? Councillor Dunn?
Are we in a position to be able to adopt this tonight without actually allocating that $476,000? Can we do that pending a percentage breakup? Are we allowed to do that?
Director,
through you, Mayor Pinson. The idea of this is you repeal one plan and you adopt another that covers the issues that were in the old plan. So you do need to do something with that money, which is why we put the resolution there to make sure that it's transferred over. The idea of putting it to the new plan is to, make sure that money is spent for the purposes for which it's collected. That's kind of the whole idea of Section 711 and 712 plans. If you want to be specific about that in the resolution, you can do that as well.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to take that on board. I don't like it, but I'm happy to take it.
Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And I was feeling uncomfortable with it. I support Councillor Saville's amendment there. Because my sort of notes was that, although I'm a Ward D councillor, it's basically, we lift all boats. So we want to support, these funds to support tourism and from it. So the limitations, as put by the director, I wouldn't like to see that, a cycleway had come. Although I do have some sympathy that if you're raising the majority of the funds, so it's one of those beasts that have to be done on, on its merits at the time. But I believe that you want to be able to feed and have a whole tourism experience for the whole Cessnock LGA, and so being able to support tourism using these funds is most important. So basically, I support the amendment. Thanks.
Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Vincent. I have an issue generally with the collection of 711 and 712 money being pooled. I've spoken to a substantial owner of vineyard properties out there some time ago, and his major beef was that he was paying significant amounts of money and it was going to the Curry Aquatic Centre and to other areas. So when Councillor Dunn saying, well, can we quarantine this money for tourism-related infrastructure, I 100% support it, because when you hear people like this particular person complaining about significant amounts of his money being... he would like his Section 94 money spent in the vineyard area, but it wasn't. It was divvied up across the LGA, and he was complaining about that to me at the time. So I support quarantining this money for tourism-related projects.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. If you look on page 16 of the report, it's here, any of them works could be put up as tourist-related. The Cessnock Commercial Precinct. Oh, we could do it to attract more tourists. The money was collected in the vineyard area, most of it, and that's where it should be spent. Whether they're cycleways, this is just taking money from one to do another. It should be spent back in the area it was collected. It's fairly simple. There's only two of these jobs that would meet the vineyard areas. There are two jobs on this sheet that it would meet. And I can't see why we wouldn't put it back to where we could use it the best.
Okay, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Look, I will support dot point 5 or the amendment. However, I think councillors need to be reminded that whilst contributions are collected from developers and divvied up amongst different projects like libraries and swimming pools, they are all important infrastructure for the LGA as a whole. And I was just trying to look through my report where it does mention the way the breakdown of these funds are distributed and why they are. So therefore you have some people who may have a development out at the vineyard area, who may have contributed to a contribution plan, and whose people come in and use the roads or the libraries or the pools. So therefore, whilst we have $476,000 in there that we want to spend on tourism, because it has been collected from people who have developed things out in tourist areas, you must also take into account that some of these funds are important for the ongoing support and maintenance and of our local community facilities.
Yeah. Councillor Burke, I'm not sure whether you've spoken on the amendment or...
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to push my button.
Okay, fine. Yeah. No further debate. I'll put the amendment. Those in favour? Councillors Olsen, Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Stapleford, it now becomes a motion. I'll put that. All those in favour? Councillors Olsen, Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson. Those against? Councillor Stapleford. Move to PE3 2020. Move Councillor Saville, second Councillor Sander, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, just in this report, Mayor Pinson, the Property Investment Fund update says we've got almost $14 million there comprised of cash and property assets. Do we know what the breakdown is between property and the cash?
Okay, the director.
I'll have to look it up, Bob.
You have to take that on notice. Okay.
Thank you.
You're right, Gary. Okay.
Yeah, it's all neat.
Okay, no further debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. PE4 2020. Move recommendation, Councillor Saville, second Councillor Burke, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, concerns, Mayor Pinson, about how we're moving this back because of higher environmental standards, it says in here, and further environmental studies. Is this putting more and more costs on this development since we've changed the width of the rate?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. The answer to that would be yes, because we put in an amendment. Council resolved to do this.
Yeah.
We put in an amendment which has been funded by Council to do this.
So the profit we were looking at making was somewhere around 2 million, I believe. I think it was 2.3 sales revenue, profit and loss. So now we've got risks of costing us more money and less income, and it even says to the point. Hang on, I've just got to find it. There may be increased risks related to the project, and these need to be carefully assessed, managed, and reported to council. It's saying in here in a report, I just haven't seen it at the moment, that there's a risk that it mightn't even be able to go ahead because it won't be profitable. I have to have another look where it is, but just say it there somewhere. Is that possible?
The Director.
Through Mayor Pinson, I think what we're saying is that we would need to provide further information to Council if that was going to be the case, certainly so you can make an informed decision on all the risks that become available when we know that information.
Yeah, it says here, depending on this assessment, any such conditions might require further redesign and additional delays and costs and possibly further impact the viability of the project by reducing land available for subdivision or requiring actions which will add cost. So at this point in time, we're going from a 2.3 million profit to where in 2021?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Well, we don't know that until we get all that information for Council.
So by Council changing one road width in their development is going to cost this Council quite a fair bit of money and possibly not make it viable. So we're doing the right thing by the ratepayers by what we're doing, what this council's doing, because if it doesn't make it viable, or we even reduce our cost by... I did say when we did say that, firstly said we're going to make that road one road wider, but we're going to cost us $500,000. Now it's looking like it's going to cost us more than that. So it's a lot of money for this council to be throwing away for a stance on one road, yet wouldn't support a motion to make all roads wider. It seems we're making a silly stand with a lot of impact on this council's operational budget. So it's very disappointing, actually.
Councillor Stapleford.
I thank you, Mayor Pinson. This has been a plan for 15 years. Who was in the council here that long ago that sat on their hands and did nothing about it? Now we've made a decision and we've got to go through a new process because we made a decision, and that's the way we're going. This council sat on their hands and did nothing for 15 years with that piece of land there. And so we've decided to do something with it, and I think we should just get on with the job.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Well said, Councillor Stapleford. As a new councillor, I'm very happy that this project is finally up. Well, it's not up and running, but it's certainly on the board. Now, as far as the profit goes, first of all, we've got to sell a lot. And there is, they have to be attractive. But the most important part of this report for me will be that there will be a report prepared for the Strategic Property and Cultural Facilities Committee, which will provide a more detailed assessment of the financial and environmental impacts. And I can assure the councillors here, I am not a member of that committee, but I do attend that committee, and the representatives on that committee are very mindful of ratepayers' money and are very mindful of delivering the best outcome for our ratepayers, both financially and aesthetically.
Thank you, Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. Ask a question first of the Director. Even if the road wasn't to be changed and widened, I would have assumed these days if you lodge a DA to develop that parcel land, you'd be required to do a biodiversity study.
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. If it was a new DA to develop, the Biodiversity Conservation Act would be triggered. That is correct.
Yeah, so are we saying because we've asked for the road to be widened that that's triggered a biodiversity study?
Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. There was an existing approval that Council had physical commencement, I guess, so they could have acted on the original approval. However, with the trigger for the new biodiversity conservation legislation was the amendment to that in relation to road widths and lot layouts.
So, Mayor Pinson, and one other comment on it. Then I believe, and I've seen other land that have been approved back as far as 1995, and when you've done the overlay of the EECs across the LEP, then the Biodiversity Act was actually retrospective on those parcels of land, am I correct?
Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I'm not quite sure what you mean by retrospective.
Well, when the Act was enacted, it was regardless of whether your development was approved yesterday or 20 years ago, that the biodiversity overlay, as in EECs, was retrospective. So you, even though you had your block of land and you started to develop your block of land, as is what this Cessnock City Council is doing now, then biodiversity would take over and then you would have to respond to the Biodiversity Act, regardless of whether that street was going to be widened.
Can we just make it quite clear that a question to the Director is a question, and a couple of councils are really getting close to debating with the council officers, and that's outside our guidelines.
Have you finished, Councillor?
Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Olsen, you have spoken once.
Just a point that was raised a minute ago by Councillor Stapleford about this being 50. Yes, it's been more than 20 years this development's been going ahead.
That's not a question.
I'm asking, I'm leading to the question, Mayor Pinson. As you've been on council for 20 years, why have you changed your stance on this time?
Councillor Saville. Sorry? I've deemed that question inappropriate.
Why is that, Mayor Pinson?
Sorry?
Why is that, Mayor Pinson?
I just have.
Inappropriate. Okay, fair enough.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. A question for the Director. In regards to the DA that was originally enacted and taking into consideration the new Biodiversity Act, if we were to continue down the path of the enacted DA, is that still a possibility?
Director.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Yes, it is, because that is a valid approval that has been has physical commencement. It can be acted upon.
So, just following on from that, so I just want to make the point that there is a report. I'm assuming that will be included in the report, that will be one of the options that the council can take, because this, like it says, we want a detailed report. If council shouldn't be making decisions, if we find out that because of the new legislation that the project is not going to be viable and we're not making money, then I would think council would not go into a development that's actually going to lose money. So in this report, I think all the options should be laid on the table and come back to us. So I would hope that that's the case, and I have full confidence that this council will make the right decisions at that time to get the best outcome for the community.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinsent. Those against? Councillor Olsen. WI 1 2020. Move Councillor Saville. Second, Councillor Fitzgibbon. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just a question on page 109, P10 investment strategy 5.311G is not due to start. I'm just wondering what the reason for that is.
Finance and Administration Manager.
The reason is that we are in the process of developing our investment policy, which will be due in August, and we've actually just commenced that process, but for the purpose of this report, we hadn't yet commenced.
Okay. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. I just think this is a great project. I'd like to add a dot point to the recommendation, and that is a media release to inform the community of this initiative. Be developed with to include the conclusion and financial implications listed on page 101.
Okay, so the mover and seconder, you are the seconder, are comfortable with that?
Okay, so look, I just think this is a wonderful initiative. I think this council, everywhere they can, is looking to save money because they know the cost, the rising cost of managing a city. I think the conclusion is fabulous. It's aimed at improving the efficiency and effectiveness of council's operations, and the financial implications are the four key things are reduced costs, increased revenues, improved value for money, and strengthen council's governance. The department should be proud of this project.
Thank you. No further debate. Are you sure about that page number 101?
Oh, sorry.
109. 108. Okay. Right, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 2, 2020. Move Councillor Savale, second Councillor Dagg, Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Again, I'd like to speak to this. This project looks fabulous. I'd like to thank the fine work that our staff have done under extreme weather conditions. It's a magnificent effort by Council's construction workers, and I'd like to thank them. They should be very proud of this project. I know that I am, and I know that the school is very appreciative. This project is one project that Council has done around the school area, and I'd like to just remind councillors that council has invested since 2018 $860,000 in school zone safety improvements.
Councillor Olson.
Yeah, I was just a little bit confused what we're talking about there for a minute. To Malvern Street, Kersey. I do appreciate what council done out there after my motion came into council and got full support, and good to see it get done in good time. But my question relates to Charlton Street, the confusion that's been created by the work down there and the signage. The current signage, I know we're supposed to be doing work down there this week, but council left a 10-kilometre sign on the post when the road work was supposed to have been completed. It was on the Cooper Street, and it's still there. So a lot of residents believe that that means they can walk across the roundabout in front of cars. Now, I've raised this with council before, and council said the signage was correct. I raised this about the 10K sign being there, and nothing's been done about it. A lot of residents are saying to me, where's the 10K zone? Where can we walk? It is only in Charlton Street, not on the roundabout, not in Cooper Street. And if you follow that 10K sign and stick to the 10K limit, you have to follow that until you get down to the roundabout at Darwin Street. And no one is following that 10K sign speed limit. So I would hope that this council can get that sign off there as soon as possible and get that roadworks with the repairs done, what we've got to get done now, considering it was supposed to have been finished and it's fell apart badly. I would like to see that sign get off there as soon as possible, and a publicity campaign of telling people what is pedestrian friendly and what isn't. None of Cooper Street is pedestrian friendly at this point in time until any more roadworks is done, and it'll only be able to be Charlton Street at this point in time, and that's where it's confusing. So I think it's great that we've got something done down there. Disappointing it's of the result, and I'm disappointed with what we've achieved there, but the only 10k zone for pedestrian friendly is in Charlton Street on either side of Cooper Street for about 20 metres.
Okay, no further debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. WI5 2020. Councillor Sander.
Mover. Seconder.
You're moving the recommendation, Councillor Saville. You're seconding it, Councillor Gray. Councillor Sander.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have major issues with this report. I would like to defer the report, in fact, to ask that further information be tendered as to why the reasons why the name Middleby has been submitted to Council. There's nothing mentioned in the report whether
Middleby... Okay, so we've got a deferral there pending the explanation of the name Middleby. We've got a second to Councillor Dagg. There's no further debate on a deferral. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI7 2020. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move this with an amendment that point four, that Council allocates an amount of $4,000 from the tourism-related projects budget to cover the cost of street vending and market stalls. It is recognised that the events attract a large number of visitors to the LGA, and this directly supports Objective 2.3 of Council's Delivery Program 2017-21, which is to increase tourism opportunities and visitations in this area.
Okay. So you're moving that amended. Councillor Gray with a second. Councillor Burke. No debate. I'll put that. All those in favour?
Sir.
Yep. Can we reread the words, please?
Project's budget to cover the costs of street vending and market stalls, as it is recognised that the events attract a large number of visitors to the LGA, and this directly supports Objective 2.3 of Council's Delivery Program 2017-21, which is to increase tourism opportunities and visitations in this area.
Okay, so we're all clear with that? I'll put that. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Saville, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson. Those against. Councillor Olson. Move to W8 2020. I call the Deputy Mayor.
All right. WI8 2020, Rotary Park, Curry Curry Park naming. Do we have a mover? Councillor Gray. Seconded, Councillor Sander. Councillor Olson.
Yeah, I have no problems with this report. I think it's great that Cole Brown's getting the park named after him. And I think it's just absolutely fantastic that this council has followed its policy on this park where it couldn't do it on the Freemasons Park.
We'll move to a vote. No more debate. All those in favour? And it's unanimous.
BN1, Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. This motion, the Millfield RFS premises that the General Manager bring back a report and recommendation to Council within 3 months outlining A, Council's current position relating to the location of new premises for the Millfield RFS Brigade, B, how Council intends to further progress our current position with that, C, the costs and funding sources internal and external to deliver the required infrastructure as appropriate in conjunction with the external bodies, and D, a timeline for delivery that takes into account all external stakeholders. The rationale behind that, Mayor Pinson, is there is a long-standing issue with respect to the location of the Millfield RMS, and there are many stakeholders that are involved with that, and we just need to set out and be very transparent with the community as to our position with that.
Thank you. Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor President. I'd like to second the motion, if that's possible.
No, it's already been seconded.
Already been seconded? Oh, okay. So I'd like to commend Councillor Dunn for this timely motion. This certainly has been a long-going issue for the people of Millfield and the surrounding areas, and this fire season certainly saw that matters of rural fire services and the facilities they provide and the services they provide was definitely called on. So I think it would be good to actually hopefully try and make sure that Council isn't part of the roadblock here, and I think this motion will help this. I would also like to suggest that a possibility in this report is that this would be a valuable project from which that could draw from the $1 million bushfire assistance fund, possibly as a possible source of solution to this problem. Yes, but I'd like to commend the motion.
Thank you.
I thank you, Mayor Pinson. Along with this, at the next meeting there will be a petition that come forward on exactly the same thing, and it's got well over 1,000 signatures now from the local areas of Ellalong, Millfield, Paxton. So the people out there desperately want one. It's in a chook shed now, the fire brigade. They can't do any training. They're losing members, and it's really needed.
Okay, thank you. Put the motion, those in favour. It's unanimous. BN2 2020. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinsent. Reinstate the questions for next meeting. It's mine is that the Cessnock City Council Code of Meeting Practice be amended to include the agenda item questions for next meeting in Council's general order of business, and that provision be made for each councillor to ask no more than two questions for the next meeting per council meeting. And two, that when such questions are asked, if there is nothing preventing an answer being given straight away, that the answer will be given.
Councillor Stapleford.
I bring this back to Council because we had this a couple of years ago. I brought this to Council and it was voted on unanimously to get these questions put in. We have a change of code of meeting practice and we somehow overlooked it and it was removed from the meeting practice. So I'd like that they be put back in again to allow councillors to ask important questions, not how to fix a pothole, but just important questions that affect the running of this council.
Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I would like to move an amendment, but I do have a couple of questions for the General Manager first, if that's okay.
Okay.
I note that I take Councillor Olsen's points and he sees the benefit in questions for the next meeting. We do have a process of questions with notice that we can utilise, which is essentially the same thing. We just submit the questions in a different format. General Manager, what are the benefits that you see for the organisation of us utilising the questions with notice as opposed to, questions without notice.
General Manager.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The model code of meeting practice did not include questions for the next meeting. So I appreciate the reference is made to 2010. The then Department of Local Government said that that was okay. 10 years later or 8 years later, when the code of meeting practice was developed as a model, there was a lot of work put into what would a model code of meeting practice look like. And there was decided then by the Office of Local Government that questions on notice for the next meeting would be a better way to provide notice so that staff had time to actually look at it. So it's working together better, the councillors and the staff. I believe that was the motive behind putting questions on notice rather than having questions to the next meeting. So there was a shift in the thinking on the Office of Local Government in what would be a more conducive environment to work together, staff and the councillors. That's my understanding on how in the model code of meeting practice that was dropped. So it wasn't this council that dropped it, it was the model code of meeting practice that did not include questions for the next meeting.
Thank you. One further question, sure. Mayor Pinson. General Manager, could you just outline for all the councillors present what is the process for submitting questions with notice?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's the same as a notice of motion.
Okay, thank you. With that, Mayor Pinson, I'd like to move an amendment. Number one, Council supports the current adopted code of meeting practice, which includes questions with notice. And point two, Council notes recent efforts by the General Manager to streamline the process for asking questions with the aim of maximising staff productivity and achieving outcomes from the delivery program.
Seconder there, Councillor Fitzgibbon. Thank you. Councillor Stapleford.
I think, Mayor Pinson, I was wondering if somebody could explain to me the difference in asking a question tonight where the staff have 2 weeks before the next meeting to investigate and come back, and then me putting a notice of motion or a notice up for the next meeting, which may be 10 days away. I just can't see the difference in either way, because if I've got 14 days, if I ask a question now, I don't expect an answer before the 14 days.
The General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. By having the same process of a notice of motion, that means that councillors as well, they need to think through their questions. Is it a question that is part of the delivery program, of the strategic direction, that is of interest of the community, so that it is not questions that are thought along the way during the meeting, for example, that is not thought through, which means that it could be quite a complex question or a question that is not in line with our direction, so it actually goes outside of the delivery program, of the strategic plan. That's always a risk. So it's actually so that you have more time to think through yourselves what is it that you wish the staff to investigate and in a timely manner.
Okay, Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Were we supposed to, if I remember correctly, we were supposed to get a separate template for questions with notice. Were we supposed to get a different template for questions with notice?
Mm-hmm. Director.
Through the Chair, Councillor Dunn, that was in relation to notices of motion, and that template has been distributed to all councillors, but it wasn't about questions with notice.
Councillor Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So if we were to have questions for the next meeting introduced, that means that because it's already in the Code of Meeting Practice for the 2 questions leading into the meeting, that means that we could have 2 questions leading into the meeting, 2 questions at the meeting. So that really has the potential of doubling the amount of work for staff. Is that correct?
Who's going to take that? The Director?
Okay.
The General Manager?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not quite sure here. You have got the amendment, so you're saying that you want the question for the next meeting and...
I'm just saying
currently adopted.
No, I'm just saying that I'm just asking a question. What was that if we were to introduce questions for the next meeting, that means that we could possibly, as a councillor, have four questions, which would mean that could double, that has the potential to double the amount of work for staff.
Of course, the questions with notice are still there.
Yeah, the questions with notice is already in the model code of meeting practice that council has adopted, yes. Yeah.
So it has the potential to double the amount of work for staff.
Councillor Olsen.
Is there a restriction on how many questions before the meeting, how many we can put in? Questions was noticed.
Yep. Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. There's no restriction in our current code of meeting practice in relation to questions with notice. However, once they are lodged, we don't actually bring those questions up and or answer those questions until we actually have the ability to answer them. So we bring them to council. These are the questions that are lodged. And then as staff work through them, the report would come back at a later time. Questions for the next meeting usually come back at the next meeting.
Yep. So prior to our current general manager starting, we had the option of questions written down or asking two questions on the night. Now, not every councillor asked two questions. Not every councillor, there wasn't many councillors using the right to write them down. Now, the difference between asking them here and putting them in writing, absolutely nothing. If the question is out of line, it won't get an answer either way. It'll be reported back to us that way. So it makes no difference whether we put it in here tonight as a question or if we put it in writing. It absolutely makes no difference to the operation of this council by our council staff. We should be able to have the right to ask in open council questions that are important to the community without having anyone stopping us. Now, if we are going to vote tonight, the amendment should be removed. And it's either you support the motion or you don't, because the amendment is only just saying the opposite to what I put up there. So that it's just saying we continue on the same practice. So if we vote my motion down tonight, we do the same as what we were doing before. So we don't need an amendment there. It's not needed. You just vote against my motion. And it would be the simple way to resolve the issue. The reason why I brought it back was every council was utilising the questions prior to our current general manager,
and current adopted
it was accepted by when 4 years ago by our councillors that it was good practice to be able to ask questions in open council. So I certainly hope that the majority of councils here tonight can understand what it's all about. It's about open and accessible council and being open and honest to the public.
Thank you, Councillor Spell.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I just feel the need to, I think, clarify a couple of things. My understanding is that the General Manager didn't remove the questions for next meeting from the Code of Meeting Practice. He was actually never in it. So she just pointed out that there was an error on our part occurring. Now, I think that what we need to consider here is the General Manager has been doing a considerable amount of work to try and streamline the way we as councillors ask questions and how we represent the community and get the best results for them in being able to represent them and put their concerns forward. But also the community wants to see council actually deliver things. So the more time we as councillors are engaging staff in dragging them in different directions, they're not actually focusing on the delivery program and getting the works done and the roadworks done and the overseeing some of our parks being built and actually helping get planning DAs approved. Like, the more times council staff are taken away from that core function to deal with questions from us as councillors, less work really gets done. Now, that's not saying we shouldn't be asking questions, because I think in the the legislation that requires us to ask questions if we have questions to do our job. So, and at any point we can ask questions of the general manager or the directors for information on things that we require to do our role as a councillor. So just because you might not be able to ask it in a council meeting doesn't mean you can't ask the question. You can ask that at any point of any day, probably 24 hours a day via email. You can just shoot them off an email, ask them that question, and they will put it through the processes. Now, the Code of Meeting Practice has an availability for questions on notice, and as was already outlined, I think that makes councillors think about the questions and allows staff time to actually properly consider the answers, because if they're rushing through and answering things like it was, there's not really 2 weeks between the meetings to actually answer that question. You've got the meeting on, they've got to then get time to go back, send it out to staff, get it back on probably the Tuesday before the following meeting, so you're really looking at a week at best, and I don't think that the rushing, when you say more haste, there's less speed, like you'll actually get less quality in the answers back by rushing people to get it by a certain time. And because they're then focusing on saying, I need it now by this date for the report, they're actually not focusing on delivering the things that are actually, we as council have already put in previous reports and said, we want these jobs delivered. This is our delivery program. So I am quite supportive of the current Code of Meeting Practice, supportive of the practices the General Manager has put in place. We had a workshop here just before Christmas with the General Manager to discuss some of these things and how we can best represent the community in our roles as councillors. So I think we've all been able to have our say. We're all able to ask questions at any point of the time. So I don't see this the original motion as actually being something we need to go down, and I'm quite supportive of the amendment.
Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pitson. No, I'm quite supportive of the amendment as well. I think that we've got to realise too that questions without notice, I think what alarmed or was the observation at the time was not only was it not in the code of practice, however, there's financial implications and staffing implications that are just made directly off the cuff. And so there's no time for the staff at the time. They either rule it out of order or take it on notice. And then once they've taken it on notice and they've left the chamber, they might be looking at and saying, well, you know, this could cost us $10,000 to bring back this report, but by the time you bring all the staff in and all the rest of it is, does the councillor realise the cost implications of that? So the questions without notice, and I first, you know, when it was first brought up, I thought, you know, how dare you, you know, this public right to walk in here and, you know, play, I'll call it politically gotcha, you know, is try to line people up, but that's not how this chamber's operated in this since I've been here, and you know, I know historically it's been used as a bit of a game of political gotcha, but at the end of the day, it's been pragmatic, and we want the best outcome for the staff and for the time. So we want our questions to be answered in good faith. So nobody's hiding or silencing anybody to do anything. It just means you just don't walk in here off the cuff, make something up, go bang, yep, it's on the public record, and then the staff are walking away with all these cost implications and staffing implications and disruption to the delivery plan along the way. So I sort of had to step back myself and go, well, okay, look, you know, fair enough, I've got to do some homework before I walk into the place and make sure that I've got all my ducks in a line and think about the financial implications and what I'm actually asking for is fair and reasonable of the staff. So I don't see that, you know, this game of, you know, walk in and you know, straight off the cuff. If I wanted to say something straight off the cuff, you just send it to CRM and you get the answer. We've got that. Nobody's being silenced. Nobody's hiding it and, you know, at all, anywhere. You just go and ask the questions. Most of the time, you just pick up the phone. So it's no drama. So I support the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stapleford.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Mayor Pinson, nobody said the General Manager took this away from us. She pointed out that it wasn't in the code of meeting practice. She was doing her job. Nobody said she took it away from us. But if you read Councillor Olsen's motion, it says that the Cessnock City Council Code of Meeting Practice be amended to include the agenda item. So we're not wanting to change anything. It just wants to put something extra in, which is not there, and the General Manager explained it's not there and why it's not there. And it's really simple. You know, it's something that we've done. We shouldn't have been doing it. The General Manager's pointed out the position, and she was correct, so we have to change the correct way, and that's all this is.
Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just to close out. Oh.
You won't be closing out?
No. I'm not?
No.
Oh, okay. Good. Well.
So you've spoken once, so I'll close you out. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. I'll support the amendment.
Sorry. Councillor Dagg has not spoken to the amendment.
No.
Pardon.
To my amendment. Thank you. No, look, I just want to touch on a couple of things. You know, I hear the comments in the chamber, but, you know, I just want to say one thing. There was a remark made that, you know, there's no difference between whether they are, you know, the questions are submitted prior to a meeting or on the night of a meeting. If that's the case, then why are we even, you know, going around in circles on this, you know, rather trivial point? This is not about us as councillors being silenced and not able to ask questions. We've always had the opportunity to do that. It's just that we now, when it comes to doing our job and representing our constituencies, we have to sit down, put pen to paper, or, you know, type, and really, really think about what it is that we want to ask, as opposed to, as others have said here tonight, you know, using the questions for the next meeting as an opportunity to, you know, have little digs at either other councillors or at staff or, you know, grandstand. Now, obviously, there's great questions that are asked and that's not what happens all the time, but it has been used as a weapon and that's not appropriate. The thing is, these questions that are lodged prior to a meeting, they're still on the public record. There's no trying to hide you know, away from public scrutiny. If anything, I think that the result will mean that we have far better quality questions and answers as opposed to poor but larger quantity. So,
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. I agree with the sentiments of Councillor Dagg and I would like to support the amendment. And I'd also like to support Councillor Olsen when he says there is no difference between questions on notice or questions for the next meeting. Thank you.
Councillor Olsen, you've spoken.
Yeah, just a question, Mayor Pinson, the General Manager. Is there a need for this amendment when it's the complete opposite of the motion?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The amendment has been moved and seconded, and that's up to the councillors to decide either way.
As the Chair, I don't think it's a direct opposite. It doesn't actually say opposite to the motion you have. It reiterates the support for the adopted code of meeting practice. The motion. No, I'm still going. Your motion did not say council does not support the adopted code of meeting practice.
And that's why I've decided that they're not opposites.
It's totally opposite to me, Mayor Pinson, and our previous general manager would tell you if it was a total opposite, you didn't need an amendment put up there.
Councillor Olsen, unfortunately, I mustn't understand them. Councillor Olsen, I have made that decision. I'm going to put the amendment. All those in favour? Councillors Fagg, Saval, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson. Those against. Councillors Olsen, Doherty and Dunn and Stapleford. It now becomes the motion. I put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Fagg, Stapleford, Saval, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson. Those against. Councillors Olsen, Doherty and Dunn. Move to BN3 2020. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, the residents of Gallagher Street are still concerned about this issue. So the motion, they've asked me to bring this motion to Council tonight, that the General Manager bring a report back to Council regarding the turning circle that is being investigated for the middle of Gallagher Street with the status of the project. And the report is to include any evidence of justification of the installation of the turning area, if the project is to proceed, how this will be funded, and how this became a priority over the other 19 streets that have had the same issue.
Can we get a seconder?
No one wants to second it?
Sorry. Here's Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Mayor Pinson, the reason I brought this to Council tonight, the residents of Gallagher Street have had this hanging over their heads for a number of, probably 2 to 3 years now, and they've been arguing against it. I've asked for a lot of information off Council with this street and why they can have justification for the turning circle halfway down a street, and they keep saying it's the garbage trucks, and I ask for the reports from the garbage trucks to justify this, and they won't produce anything. So if they won't produce anything to me, I'm concerned with how this has become a priority over 19 other streets we have in the community. And I'm also concerned that we're saying we're going to fund this out of a waste reserve when it's not allowed to be. It has to come out of our road reserve. And so there's a lot of issues with this, and I just really want to get it clarified whether we are going to proceed or not. And if we are going to proceed, I need to see all this evidence to justify why we are doing Gallagher Street, so I can produce it for the residents of the street so they can understand why their street's going to get destroyed, and some of their residents will lose all their parking in front of their properties, will lose decent access to their property and lose some of their footpath because of a turning lane that will be halfway down the street, which will not benefit anyone in that community, in that street at all. And if it's to do with kids playing on the street, this is first street, they pick the garbage bins up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and if the kids are out there on the street playing at that time of the morning, I would be shocked. So I really need to understand why that Gallagher Street needs a turning circle.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, I certainly will not be supporting this notice of motion because council staff have wasted so much time on this. There have been 6 questions, 8 CRMs, for topics ranging from road patching back in March 2013 to road upgrade works, need for a cul-de-sac head conversation in 15-16 to the inclusion in the 2016-17 op plan, sat-nav directing traffic through Gallagher Street, installation of large give-way signs at the entrance, placement of banners and signs at the car yard with the ranger conversation. There's been all of this are reports from council officers, and they address every single one of these points. I'll go on. It's deferral of the turning. Hang on, I'll get this clip off. Turning head due to level of objections, letters and consultation with residents, sealing of the dead end section of Gallagher Street, investigation into turning solution, traffic calming devices, why Gallagher Street is a priority over other streets, the garbage truck for turning issues, concept design options and estimated costs, how will this be funded, what water main moving, loss of visitor car parks. The answers to the 3 points are all in these documents. So I would suggest, Councillor Olsen, you read your correspondence and I can show you the reason and the funding for all of this. I have one question to ask the Director of Works and Infrastructure through you, Mayor Pinson. When I was first elected on council, the concerns the residents had up in Gallagher Street were traffic not being able to turn around because they were being redirected through SatNav. I've been up there this morning. I know it's a big drop-off. There's for those councillors who aren't aware, on one side it's rock, on the other side it drops away down the end. I totally understand why the waste management facility collection trucks cannot turn around there. In my little car, I can't turn around there. As a work, health and safety issue, has that been addressed?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor. We have, and I think in some of that correspondence that you referred to, we have on our records a meeting between myself and the then asset manager in relation to a concern, work health safety concern that was raised with me, and the notice or the notes in those meeting minutes were effectively, can we include it in the following year's operational plan to investigate to try and mitigate the risk associated with reversing trucks. Subsequent to that, we found out that vehicles ended up going down that street because, as you point out, GPS, and I think there was a caravan or a horse float, had to be unhitched to be turned around to go back out the other way. Since 2016-17, I think, is the first operational plan that it went in for design and investigation, there's been further work. It's obviously led to some cost estimates for options. Mm-hmm. And clearly to do a turning head down the end of that street, as you've pointed out, the way the land falls away there, it's quite expensive. And I think one of the correspondences you referred to goes through the various options that have been costed out. What was a cost-effective option was for a turning circle in the middle of the street. Obviously, when that was proposed, there was a lot of objection from the residents at the time. We've subsequently reviewed, because rightly pointed out here in another question that was asked one time, Councillor Olsen asked, and I think it was a question for the next meeting, and we responded, and we pointed out that council officers had undertaken a risk assessment and developed a safe work method statement for not just Gallagher Street but the other streets that they have to reverse out, and that was done in August, I think, of last year, to mitigate that risk that was identified back in 15-16. Now, I have a duty of care. As a director, to address work health safety issues. What I don't have is a file note to tell me where it was actually raised. All I know, it was raised somewhere. And I've got a feeling it might have been our barbecue catch-ups, where we sit around with the guys, basically, and they raise any issues they want to raise, and it could have quite easily been one of the operators say, you know, one of our issues, we've got to reverse down Gallagher Street. So I took it on notice, and it became an item at the next meeting with the asset manager. That's all I'm thinking it got into there, but it's certainly in the file notes of one-on-one meeting with the asset manager in circa 15, end of 15. And that's how it got into subsequent operational plans for investigations. And here we are some couple of years down the track. We've addressed the work health safety risk through a safe work methods statement to include Gallagher Street and the other streets that have now been identified. And we've still got to remove the risk of people being directed down there through their TomToms, their GPS. That's still a problem that we have. So I think one of the more recent correspondences we said that we would now investigate the options of narrowing the entryway to that street to make it, even though we've put signs up, to make it clear to anyone towing not to enter that street because there's nowhere to turn around. So there's some of the things that are being considered now. It'll have minimal impact on anyone in the street. You're just narrowing the entryway to the street and making it clear to anyone who wants to turn left in that street because TomTom's sending them that way. Don't do it. It's a local road. It's a dead-end street. Because you may all recall, the street used to actually drop down there many, many years ago. It was a little dirt laneway that you dropped down. Well, obviously, risk associated with that, and it was probably a couple of decades ago it was removed and that laneway was closed. But unfortunately, technology hasn't caught up and it's still sending people that way. But
One more question. So that negates any need for a turning circle, a hammerhead, a roundabout, or whatever other thing has been suggested in Gallagher Street.
The Director.
Through you, Mayor. It would certainly indicate at this stage, yes, we've taken other steps to remove, firstly, the most important thing was the work health safety risk, and our risk management people got involved in that in August of this year, August of last year, and that risk has been removed. The risk that we now need to remove is the risk of people entering that street. If we can do that through narrowing, it's just an alternate way, a cost-effective way of achieving essentially the result.
Thank you.
Councillor Olson.
Yes, the question firstly to directly. Are you saying the turning circle is not going ahead in Gallagher Street?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor. One of the correspondences, most recent correspondences after August, circa August, was when the risk management team got involved and undertook exercise. I think there is correspondence back to all councillors indicating that we would now look at alternate options, which included the narrowing of the entryway, which mitigates the need for a turning circle at the end.
Right. Well, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that saying that was removed from the table. It never said it was removed from the table. I have a question for Councillor Fitzgibbon. You said a number of residents complained to you about the garbage truck.
No.
What did you say? They complained about what?
Yeah.
I said that I had a number of residents complain about vehicles being directed a lot into Gallagher Street through TomTom and SatNav, and I think that has been corrected somehow with Google through you, Director.
Yep. Through you, Mayor. But the road officers have indicated to me that they've notified, and that was maybe 12, 18 months ago. I don't know how successful that is to get across all systems. There might be some old systems out there still sending people down there, but certainly it seems to have mitigated the problem. We don't get the complaints from the residents like we were getting.
Thank you.
I haven't finished, Mayor Pinson. I'm still asking a few questions yet. So then how many residents did complain to you, Councillor Fitzgibbon? 55 in Gallagher Street?
Yes.
55
in Gallagher Street? Yeah, 55.
No, we're not number 55.
We have one person speaking at a time.
Was it number 55 or was it number 30? Which one was it?
Yep. Show a little bit of respect, and we're not going to have interrogation as part of the meeting.
I'm entitled to ask questions, Mayor.
You're entitled to ask questions, but you're not entitled to interrogate other councillors.
Well, I'm entitled to a decent answer as well, not a smart-ass answer.
Excuse me, that's out of order.
Okay, it's out of order. Next question is to the Director of Works. Is this how we run our council? We have a barbecue and you get a casual comment and then you go and look into it? Because I could have a casual comment with someone here tonight and we change the whole plan of this council.
Do you want to say that? General Manager?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, that's an inappropriate question. Thank you.
Okay then, well, how do we plan our work if we don't have any copies of any WHS reports put in by any staff member, any SafeWorth member statements put in, any complaints put in by the garbage trucks? How do we make this an important issue? How does the Director bring this in as an important issue?
The General Manager.
Through Mr. Mayor, these are operational matters we are talking about. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm disappointed how this has gone so long and the residents still think. The residents of Gallagher Street, I spoke to them last week, still think there's a turning circle going up there. I'll let them know there's no turning circle going in Gallagher Street. It is off the table.
Councillor Olson just closed debate, councillors, so we're going to put the motion. Those in favour? Councillor Olson. Those against? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Saval, Fitzgibbon, Gray, Dagg, Burke, Sander, Lyons and Pinson. Move to councillors' reports. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I just want to report to the Chamber that the Richmond Vale Rail Trail Working Group met for the first time last Thursday. And it was with Newcastle, Lake Macquarie and Cessnock Council and Council staff in the room. And it was a very, very productive catch-up where everybody got to know who was in the zoo and who was working well. Newcastle Council is going to put their...
Thank you, councillors.
Newcastle Council is going to have ZDA prepared and ready for submission. That's looking like somewhere between March and June this year, all going well. So they're obviously they're very, very much part of the in front of the curve, and that's all the way to the Pambalong wetlands. So Lake Macquarie Council is very much like Cessnock Council. Although Lake Macquarie has a lot of internal resources that they can work with to bring them up to speed, they only have 3 kilometres of the trail, so the imperative for them to move before Cessnock. Everybody understood that Cessnock is in a bit of a is in a big financial dilemma. On that this is a state significant project, everybody's agrees with it, everybody's pushing for it, and however the restrictions of the size of our council, the size of our rate base and the pertinency, direct pertinency to interconnectivity between our suburbs isn't there like it is within Newcastle. So for Cessnock ratepayers to fund the development of this, we're going to need external help. Everybody's agreed to work. Our staff are doing extraordinarily well with the low resources they have and should be complimented on that, that they're moving through the best way. But as the briefing we had just before Christmas brought us up to speed with the dollars and cents of, you know, in excess of $250,000 to just get us to catch up stage on Newcastle is going to be there. I've put all that on the table. It was it's very, very accepted. Everyone acknowledges it, and we're going to meet every 6 months at this stage. It's an interim committee before we bring, so the council officers and the council lawyers can talk openly with each other with no risk of confidentiality breaches, and then we'll bring the public in going down into the future. Thank you.
I'll briefly report on the happenings since the last council meeting in regards to bushfire recovery. As you know, we were one of the original 33 councils in New South Wales who was allocated the $1 million. We're planning on having a briefing next week to outline the proposals to spending that money. It's so important that Laguna and Wallumbai are not forgotten, even though the fires occurred in the start of December. I attended the Bushfire Recovery Roundtable in Canberra last week by the Business Council of Australia, who are concerned greatly about the effects on small business and as we would be as a council, the jobs that could disappear from small businesses really struggling in this bushfire situation. And of course, the Hunter Valley Wine Country Tourism Association surveying their members that 40% of tourists are not coming here, with the confusion over whether our area is still open for business or not. On top of that, we have the issue of the smoke taint with grapes, with the grapes. So we're hoping that BCA, the Business Council of Australia's report from the round table will be available next week. Council is also looking at the $76 million tourism package that the Prime Minister spoke about in middle of January. We're working with our federal members to learn as much as possible about where our submissions go to enable greater marketing throughout our local government area so we can protect those small businesses that are under risk from this bushfire situation that we've had. Hopefully things tend to change every day. The availability of funds coming out to help councils is certainly something that's
changes on a daily basis. As today, we were allocated $100,000 from the state government Bushfire Community Resilience and Economic Recovery Fund. So we'll be going out talking with the people, the chambers at Laguna and Wollombi firstly, as to how we can help those businesses that were so badly affected when the main road was closed for more than 3 weeks and people were not allowed, apart from local residents, to come into those businesses. And it's been catastrophic for those businesses. So council will do whatever they can, and hopefully at the next meeting we'll be able to report back on how we're going to spend some of that money that's been allocated to Cessnock City Council to help our small businesses. At that point, I'll close the meeting. Thank you. 100,000, mate.